All God's people said, amen, as we see what God can do. As we continue our journey in Exodus today, we pick up with a Moses that's in hiding. He has slain the Egyptian. He has covered up his sin, thinking it is hidden. Now he's worried that it's not. So he flees Egypt into the wilderness and takes on a new life in hiding as a shepherd. Imagine that transition. Transition from being a prince of Egypt to a shepherd. But it was his fear that drove him in the wilderness. It was his fear that kept him from being who it was that God called him to be. And so it was in his fear and in his hiding that God meets him today. All of us in our life have been called to do things we don't want to do. Yesterday, in the bitter cold, our family never left the house. We stayed inside all day, and it was good, and our children just got to have a free day and just do whatever it is they wanted to do. Heather and I had some things we needed to do. But there came a time after lunch where we needed their help for a few moments. Now, there is nothing more horrible as a parent than when you call upon your children to help after they have had all morning to do whatever it is that they want to do. It is cruel, and I understand that. And if my children wish to report me for that, I will gladly own it, because I did it. I broke into their beautiful pajama day where they had done absolutely nothing worthwhile to ask for an hour. An hour of their time to do some things, and it was a crisis. But we overcame it. We did the things we needed to. Nobody was bleeding. Nobody was in trouble. It was a hugely successful day in the Harper house based on just those guidelines. That we were able to make it to the end of the day. Everybody was alive. Everybody was healthy. Everybody was somewhat happy. I gave up on happy a long time ago. That's not my job. But having to call us out of what we want to do into what we need to do is difficult for all of us. And the fact is, it doesn't get any easier for us as adults. When we know what life is according to our rules, and all of a sudden something comes along and reminds us that we have other responsibilities, and so we have to actually put on real clothes and take off the pajamas. We've got to go back into the real world. Monday morning comes, and we've got responsibilities. And so we get called out of where we want to be in our hibernation to do what it is that we need to do. That's where Moses was. Moses was hiding. Moses had developed a new life, a life that he liked, a life where he was comfortable, a place where he had a family, a place where he had a responsibility, and a place where everything went according to his schedule. He was happy, he was comfortable, but it wasn't his place. And so God had to call him out. Last Sunday, we talked about the plight of the children of Israel, that here they found themselves in a world that did not know Joseph. They found themselves in a world that couldn't care less about who they were, couldn't care less about who they believed, a world that actually punished them because of who they were and because of who they believed. But in spite of a changing world, in spite of a world that didn't have room for them, in spite of a world that saw them as a bad guy, they did not let that change who they are. And that was our lesson from last Sunday. We as faithful people may live in a world that does not know Joseph, but we do not allow the world to change us who we are. Why? Because the world is not our promise. That's why the children of Israel didn't change, is because Egypt wasn't their promise. God didn't say, I'm going to let you live in Egypt. He said, no, I'm going to give you your own land. And so therefore they realized there was no reason to be angry. There was no reason to have angst. even when life was hard and unbearable, because Egypt wasn't their promise. Their promise was to come. And so they held on to that because that was what was fighting for. And now we see once again Moses is being just like all the rest of the folks. He's found himself somewhere that's not his promise. You see, there's a reason that God put him in the palace, and it's because that's where God needed him to be. Now, Moses took a detour, but God said, I don't care that you've taken a detour. I put you in the palace. I need you in the palace, and now it's time to put on your big boy pants and to go back. Back where I need you to be. Back where I put you to be. And so, God does the same for us. God calls us out of the safety of the world that we have built. God calls us out of our want-tos into where He needs us to be. God calls us out of our places of fear. God calls us out of the places we have run to. God calls us out from behind the new lives that we have created for the world to see. God calls us in our darkest places out. And says, that's not where I need you to be. I need you to be in my will. I need you to be where I put you. I need to be where you can fulfill my plan and my purpose. All of us wish that we could escape from time to time. All of us wish that we could just go on doing the things that we want to do. But I'm here to tell you, if 2016 is going to be all that God wants it to be and needs it to be, God's going to have to call us out of ourselves. God's calling us out of our comfort zones. God's calling us out of our preferences. God's calling us out of the walls which we have hid behind for generations. God is calling us out of what we know as safety back to where He needs us to be. Just as He did with Moses. So He continues to do with the faithful, calling us out of the world that we have created because that is not where we are intended to be. God is calling us out of where we are hiding as the church. God is calling us out from where we are hiding as the faithful. But notice how God calls out. God calls Moses out by getting his attention. It was a burning bush. A burning bush. Of all of the amazing things God could have done to get Moses' attention, He chose to set a bush on fire. Why? He could have been some great voice from heaven. He could have sent an angel in physical form. He could have sent great and wonderful messengers. He could have sent 1,000 things to get Moses' attention, but instead He lit a bush on fire. Why? Because He needed something that Moses would pay attention to. And Moses wasn't very good at listening when God was talking. Moses knew what it was he needed to do. God had been blessing him time and time again. But when Moses took his detour into the wilderness, Moses stopped listening. And so God had to talk in a different way. The same is true for us. God is constantly working in our lives, lighting bushes on fire in our lives, constantly showing us new ways to get our attention. Because we stopped listening to the way He has been talking. There used to come a time, back in the good old days, where people paid attention to authority. There used to be a time, back in the good old days, where people paid attention to their Sunday school teachers. People paid attention to their preachers. People paid attention to those that had been set in their life as people of authority. They paid attention because they believed that God had granted wisdom, God had granted purpose, and that it was their job to pay attention, to listen, and to follow. But now we live in a world that is so noisy, people stop paying attention. We live in a world where people have to yell and get louder and louder to be heard over all of the voices that are bombarding our lives. We've now, in our process of tuning out all the noise, started to tune out all the ways that God speaks to us. The same is true in the life of the church. People don't listen to what I have to say. People stopped listening to preachers a long time ago. Every once in a while, people will pay attention. Every once in a while, people will say, you know, that was a nice point, but for the most part, I can't even remember all the stuff that I said, as amazing as it is. We live in a world that says, you don't have to listen to authority because it's your own authority that matters. We live in a world that says, you don't like the rules, come up with your own rules. We live in a world where all of the ways that God, to this point, has communicated to us are no longer important or no longer relevant to the majority of the people out there. And it was the same with Moses. Moses had stopped listening to the way God had been talking, so God said, I'm going to do it a new way. What are the burning bushes in our lives? What are the ways that God is trying to talk to us as a church and to a people in ways that are unexpected? What are those moments that He is trying to inbreak with His Word and His presence, but we're too busy to pay attention? Praise God, Moses didn't. He saw something that caught his attention, something he was not expecting, and he said, I need to see what that's all about. Have you ever noticed that? God lit the bush on fire, but Moses had to go pay attention. He didn't light the bush on fire and then call across the desert, Moses! No, Moses had to come there. What are those burning bushes in our life? What are the ways that God is trying to get our attention? What are the things God wants to say to us, but we have to be willing to step out of where we are and pay attention? See what God can do. Because like Moses, God is calling us out of where we are hiding. He is calling us in new and unexpected ways. But He is calling us for the same purpose, despite our protest. Here it is. God has lit a bush on fire. Moses has come to see what it is. Now the voice of God is speaking to him, and he says, I have a job for you. I want you to go and deliver the people of Egypt. Now, I don't know about you, but if God decided to light my tree on fire and was speaking to me out of this burning bush, I might be willing not to ask questions. I might just be willing to do exactly what it is God's calling me to do. But Moses didn't play that way. He didn't care that God was calling something in some miraculous way. He says, I want you to go to Egypt. I want you to bring my people out. And Moses says, not me. This is one of the moments that I love the humor in Moses' response. Notice what he says. God says, I want you to deliver my people. And says Moses says, no, not me. I'm not a great man. Like that's the reason God shouldn't be using him. Let's completely ignore the fact that you're a murderer. Perhaps that might be a strike against you if God's using you to lead people. Let's completely ignore the fact that you're a coward. Perhaps that might be some reason God wouldn't call you to lead. Or let's completely ignore the fact that you have shown no leadership ability. When the time came and the going got tough, you ran. But Moses says, no, I'm not a great man. I can't go for you. I like to believe God was thinking, if I can overlook all the big things, I promise I can overlook your speech as well. But I need you. We do the same thing. When God does latch hold to our hearts and God does speak to us, we immediately start coming up with all the reasons why we don't have to listen. All the reasons that God's got the wrong number. All the reasons that we can't do it. And just like Moses, our reasons are absolutely ridiculous. Oh, I don't have that skills. Oh, I don't have that time. Oh, I'm too old. Oh, I'm too young. Oh, we come up with a myriad of excuses that are just as weak as his. When God's looking at it, he's going, I'll tell you what your real excuse is. You're scared. Your real excuse is you're worried. Your real excuse is you think you're going to fail. You think somebody's not going to like it. You think somebody's going to be mad. You think it's all going to blow up and it's going to be your fault. God looks beyond our excuses to the real reasons in our heart that we don't follow where he is leading. And so God doesn't address his surface reason. God doesn't say, oh, it's okay. I'll make you a great man. So notice what God says. He says, I am sending you to the children of Israel to bring them out of bondage. Moses says, no, I can't do it. No, they aren't going to listen to me. No, none of this can happen. And then notice what he says in verse 14. Then God said to Moses, I am who I am. When you go to the people of Israel, tell them, I am sent me to you. God knew that in Moses' heart, what was keeping him glued to where he was his fear and his doubt. And God said, I'm not concerned about your fear. I'm not concerned about your doubt. I'm not concerned about your responsibilities because I'm not sending you in your own strength. I'm sending you in mine. You are going for me. God doesn't fail. As many times as we might like to think so, God never fails. And God says to Moses, you don't worry about that. You don't worry about the way you're going to be received. You don't worry about whether or not people are going to listen. You don't worry about whether or not you're going to have the right words. You don't worry about all of the things that are keeping you in hiding. No, you don't have to worry about any of those because it's not up to you. It's all about me. And I am sending you. The same is true for us. God is calling us out of our hiding places. God is calling us out of our comfortable lives back to where he needs his faithful to be. In the middle of communities of pain and suffering. In the middle of the life of the people around us. Back to where he needs us to be. And he says, I know you're scared and I know you're worried and I know you don't think you can do it. But guess what? I'm not concerned about that because I am the one who is calling you there. And I never fail. Let us pray. Loving and eternal God, we just thank you, O Lord.